Good afternoon, St. Louis. DGS, I'm KMOX. Happy Wednesday to you. Michael Kelly sitting with us for a little bit. Good to see you. How are you?
Hey, guys.
You look sharp.
Thank you. I had to get dressed up. I'm playing the role of Ranji, and I didn't want to wear my
Where's your hat?
Glasses and hat, so yeah. I thought I'd look like an adult.
We should all do Ranji one day.
Not tell him.
And then do me one day, then Wheeler one day.
Oh, you guys can do the bully cut?
How you feeling?
I'm tired, man.
Tell them about your day, your night.
I don't think I've thawed out yet. So we had our first game last night, you know, and it was whatever it was, 30 something degrees, wind blowing crazy. And we were out there. I mean, I was out there a little less than the kids because they got there before me because I was here working, and then I got there a little bit later. So yeah, for them, it was like 5 till 9. For me, it was like 5:45 until 9 o'clock. And then I don't think I thawed out until this morning. Wow. Like I was freezing the whole night. I think I slept like 3 hours.
Did they get anything out of it? Like when it's that cold?
Yeah. I mean, you're getting some reps and you're moving in and out. It's kind of it's believe me, when you're hitting, it sucks when it's cold like that. Like it's not a fun night for hitters when the wind's blowing in hard and it's cold as hell.
Yeah.
But no, it's still useful to get outside before it's a real, because they're scrimmages, before it's a real thing and just kind of get your feet in the water.
Gotcha. Yeah. Did you run this morning?
I did.
Did it suck?
No. So what day? Monday? Was it pouring rain? I ran in that, but it was warmer. It was pouring rain Monday the whole time, but I was fine. And then yesterday morning, I started a bit earlier than my group. And I swear, I stepped outside. And again, it started pouring again. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. But it was like 35 degrees at that point. So I actually waited 10 minutes for most of the rain to go away. And this morning was awesome. Because it wasn't raining.
It's not bad when you're like I used to run cross country. It was cold in Michigan. It wasn't bad once you got going.
Well, and especially like so today we did like it ended up being like 14 miles with like a track workout in the middle. So your core gets so warm that you literally my coach was in a t-shirt and shorts. Then you put the jacket back on afterwards.
I haven't thought of this in years, but Sandberg Phoenix, who advertised here on KMOX, I used to work for them, and John Sandberg was a big runner, and he found out that I ran track in college. Of course, I was a sprinter. Like, the 60 was my specialty. The 100 was a distance for me.
I didn't know they had the 60.
Yeah, I had to pace myself. But I wanted to impress the boss, and he had a running club, and he's like, yeah, and I lived in the West End at the time. He's like, we'll pick you up. We'll come by, say, 5 a.m., and I was like, rock on, and I had nothing to run in, and I don't know why I did this, but I went out, and I bought, like, Rocky's outfit, like the gray sweats and the gray crew neck.
Yes. Love it.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And it rained that morning.
Oh, no.
So I already was probably weighing in about 190. Now I'm about 310.
Yeah.
And I actually made it like 3 miles, and their turnaround place was 5. And I'm just like, don't look like a wuss. And of course, they each weighed 14 pounds and they're wearing like whatever that repels rain. And I'm just like slogging along like I'm in a fat camp or something. And I'm like, guys, I don't know. I even said this. I was bonking. I'm like, I don't know why you even thought I was a runner. I'm not a runner. And I think I might have taken my 18-pound sweatshirt off and just walked back shirtless.
Yeah.
Awful.
Well, when you say like I'm not a runner, that's because it's hard to explain, but or to people who aren't in it. But sprinting and running are not the same sports. And the body type could not be more different.
No.
I mean, sprinters are muscular and big, and they look like running backs, and runners look like little skeletons with ponytails. I mean,
I was quick. I was always the first out of the blocks, and then I would be caught within 10 yards. And at that point, it was just.
So if there was a 10-yard race.
Oh, I would be rich right now.
Champion.
Yeah. If I could just leap, just bound like a cheetah or something once, for sure.
Yeah, that's the problem with like the really good sprinters. They're all tall, too. Like, they have the long strides. So once they get their strides going, it's like...
Yeah.
That's the noise they make.
I can't believe I went to college on a running scholarship. It's like if you... You ever think sometimes that you haven't really lived your life? It's just a backstory. Like you've been, you're at a CIA black op spot and they've just hypnotized you and starved you and they've given you a backstory.
And you're just waiting for the call that activates you.
Exactly. And sometimes when I think of my backstory, I'm like, that's a little on the nose or that's a little stupid.
I've never thought of it like that. Wait. But like a backstory that was just made up is so spot on.
Right. Like and for me, it's like a 13-year-old boy made it up.
Dave's going to get the call and it's going to be, get the catcher in the ride. He's going to be like, where's my gun?
It is. And then you went to law school, but then when you got out, you got fired a bunch of times. And you're just like, okay. Pretty stupid backstory, but all right.
And then you make this super famous show. And that's where the backstory and reality collide.
Yeah. Who knows?
It's great. I think it's good. It's a good movie right there.
I do think that, though.
The Glover identity.
The whole, like, simulation theory, and that if we're just some other beings in some other realm, and we're playing a video game, and I'm, like, at a Cosmic Dave and Buster's.
You're Glorp.
Yeah, exactly. And I see the Dave Glover game. I'm like, oh, I'm going in on this. They're like, don't do it, man.
It'll mess you up.
Like eating the 50 milligram gummy or something, you know? Like, don't do the Glover thing. Start out as Michael Kelly. No, start as Wheeler. He's super, super. Super, just like consistent.
It's simple.
He gorilla runs, and if he's tired, he gets tired like a toddler. But that's about it.
Yeah,
he's like it's cranky.
Like work up to Glover, man. Trust me on this. No, I'm going. I'm going. And here I am, stuck in this stupid game.
Kevin, could you be a champion gorilla runner?
I don't know. I only do it in my dream. I don't do it in real life.
I mean, are you good at it in your dream? Or
it makes me faster in the dreams, yeah.
Are you good at it?
Are you, like, clumsily?
That's his dream, is being a bad gorilla runner.
Yeah. I might try to do it one day, though, for reals.
Do you wake up? Do your knuckles hurt?
I don't know. No, maybe.
For different reasons.
Yeah. No, that's not good.
We could have a race, a gorilla run versus the sprinter.
Yeah, there you go.
Versus the runner.
Right.
Oh, I would lose. It takes me, like, 6 miles to get to full speed.
Amy, slow twitch.
So slow. You didn't know the twitch could be that slow.
I'm quick twitch, but I only have one twitch now.
When I famously bought my running shoes, where I told all the lies. Oh, you probably don't know the story, do you?
No.
Oh, dude. So I was fat. I mean, I'm either fat or skinny. I just lost like 25 pounds, so I'm back down. But
you're very thin right now.
Thank you. Just count to 10. I'll be fat again. But I was pretty large. I right now, I weigh about 182, and I was weighing about 235. So big boy at 5'9". And I went into Fleet Feet in the Chesterfield Valley. And I sit down and the guy's fitting me for shoes. And he's like, so how much do you run? And I just go into lying mode. And I said, about 100 miles a week. And he doesn't even look up. He's like, that's pretty good. He's like, where do you go see you running? And so the house is on a lake with a track around it. And it's 1 mile. And I go, oh, my house is on a lake. And it's got a 1 mile trail around it. I just run that about 100 times a week. And then his shoulders start kind of heaving because he's laughing really hard. And I know he's thinking, like, do you just eat Crisco sandwiches then? Is that, do you eat while you run? Do you have someone standing there with cookies? And then he made me go out on the sidewalk and run. And I had to roll my jeans up. I'll never forget that. And he's like, oh, you're a galloper. I'm like, you know what? Why don't you just F off? Galloper. We all know what I am. And so I bought those shoes. They're like $200 shoes because, right, that's going to make the difference. And I went out on that track, and I swear to you this is true. I ran 7 steps, and I'm like, this hurts. And I walked back in the house, put the shoes up, and they've never hit my feet again.
I mean, I worked at Fleet Feet. I was that person for 5 years. And, I mean, yeah, I can only imagine what this guy was thinking. He was probably a collegiate runner too,
probably.
Because they employed a lot of
at that time.
I mean, a lot of former college runners. And
you know what else I have? I have hilarious. A pair of size 10, $300 ice skates that when we went ice skating, the famous one when Nick and I was falling down for 60 seconds.
Yeah.
And then when Phoebe refused to hold my hand and skate, and I knew that it was over with her. I'm so stupid. I'm like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to play hockey. And so I went out and bought really expensive skates, and they've never been on my feet.
Oh, no.
I've done that before when you're like, okay, I'm going to go on this diet and get the protein.
Right.
Or you buy four or five boxes of protein. You don't even get halfway through one of them.
You gotta stack up.
Like, I'm done with that.
Oh, no, it's expired.
Oh, God. My life is trackable by footwear. I also have brand new, probably $300 boots that you ride motorcycles on, like enduro, because I was going to do like the Mojave Desert or some crap. Never been on my feet. They're still in the box. Never been on my feet. And they're right next to the skates. I swear to God they are.
Garage sale.
Yeah. DGS shoe wear.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
Amy's got some things.
What do I have?
You want to get rid of that sweater you said.
Oh, my gosh. I hate this
the
sweater.
The one you're wearing?
Yes.
Yeah, sure. I told her, I said,
this,
we could light the
today.
Phone lines up if you tell you're going to sell the shirt better, off your
Andrew could. Said it's illegal to sell the sweater on air. He's like, do not say that the sweater's for sale.
Do it for charity.
Like Facebook Live. No, so I bought this sweater. So I wear a lot of black, especially black turtlenecks. So I started buying other, like, types of black shirts, and then they're like, you should try wearing, you know, a different color sometimes. So I thought, I'm gonna buy a blue sweater for when I feel very blah and I need a little color by my face. So I bought this blue sweater and I got home and I hated it, but I'm like, no, you got to give it a try. So I wore it a couple times and I didn't wear it, so now I can't return it and I don't like it, so I'm wearing it out of guilt to a place that doesn't matter.
Interesting. You look like you're a cheerleader for the St. Louis Blues if the Blues were a Christian school.
I just kind of like the cheerleader's outfit at my Catholic grade school. Go Chargers.
Yeah, this is very wholesome.
Yeah.
It's something. I hate it. I can't wait to go home and take it off because I hate it so much. But I'm wearing it out of guilt because I bought it.
Why don't you give it to someone who would love it? Like Andrew.
I mean, like, you know that there are places like Goodwill that can take those things and people will enjoy them.
I know.
Yes. Someone
I think
would
because
love that
I
sweater.
Paid too much for it because I wanted to buy a nice sweater. Hmm. And I paid too much for it. And so I don't really want to give it away yet.
Where'd you get it? Merry-go-round?
What's a merry-go-round?
I knew that was going to be too out of a reference. I knew it. It's where guys like me bought members-only jackets. Rick Springfield ties.
Z Cavaricci pants.
Do you know the very first pair of real jeans that I bought on purpose in seventh grade to be popular ended up being Girls Britannia jeans? Because they had no pocket on the back.
Right.
And I had a butt that wouldn't quit. I looked like a fly girl. And one of my girlfriends came up to me and she's like, you look good, but those are girl jeans. I have the same pair.
Dave, you were just ahead of your time.
Is that what it was?
I mean, yeah. Fit in
right
now.
I had every knockoff. I had tracks with two X's tennis shoes that I told everyone were Pumas.
Yeah, do you remember Zips?
No.
You ever get those? Oh, yeah. Zips were a big deal.
And then the fake polo guy, I think it was called Knights or something like that. Yeah, he was a knight instead of a polo.
Oh.
An Izod, but it was a crocodile instead of an alligator. I had them all. Hydrox cookies, you name it.
Yeah.
Hydrox cookies.
All right. That's enough. Welcome back, guys. DGS 123. Sir H. DoorDash is a human right now.
That's according to some people on Twitter. I'm wondering if Andrew has seen this discourse, too.
I have thoughts.
Some, like, extreme leftist people on Twitter have taken up the mantle of, like, you can never get rid of DoorDash, and you should never criticize anyone who uses DoorDash, because at this point, it's a human right for...
Rights are changing.
They sure are. It's a human right, and I want to be, you know, sensitive about this, because there are people with disabilities who DoorDash, I'm sure, helps, but they're like... If you have a disability, you have to be able to use DoorDash because you can't cook for yourself and you can't walk up the stairs. You need someone to deliver this hot food at your door, which is, I mean, an interesting way of painting this like gig economy thing that has only existed for like less than 10 years.
Yeah.
And suddenly it's a human right. I just thought that was very interesting. And then even more interesting are the people who choose to engage with these people and argue with them. It's like, what a gigantic waste of time. Like, if that's how someone sees the world, I don't think you're going to change their mind on Twitter.
No, they're going to be like, you know what? You make a lot of good points. Forget what I said. So what's your take, Andrew?
My take on it is I've seen a lot of people that are defending the human rights thing by saying things like, there's one person who has become, you know, Twitter famous for this take, who was saying, like, if you have, like, ADHD, you can't always microwave a frozen meal.
Yeah.
Because if you're too tired to read the instructions, it's hard to understand them. And it's not easy because you have to open the box and then you have to poke several holes or else peel back the film and microwave for a period of time and then take it out and oftentimes stir it, then replace the film and reheat it.
But you can go on an app and find a restaurant and pick what you want and order it the way that you want it and pay for it and put a tip in. You can do all that, but you can't cook a frozen. I'm not saying you're saying that. I'm just saying.
Yeah, well, really thought you were about to cuss.
Yeah, yeah.
For real.
I did too.
Wait, he hit that console.
Frozen. Yes. Frozen.
It was a sketchy frozen.
That's going to be my new, euphemism.
Long F.
You are so frozen.
And so, and I just think that's really interesting. A lot of people were getting mad at other people for saying things like, if you are that hard up in your life that you can't microwave a frozen TV dinner, you probably might need like round the clock care,
right,
as opposed to like unlimited access to DoorDash. You probably need something more like a home caretaker or a home nurse or something that can do things like cook for you. If even like reading the instruction, like if you look at the back of the instructions and are like, I can't make heads or tails of this and I don't know how to poke three holes in the wrapper. I mean, frankly, like, I don't want to be insensitive, but you do have bigger problems than I need to be able to.
You can't isolate it and say, I can live. I have all the skills. I have the skill set and the ability to live independently except for microwaving something.
Right.
That not being able to microwave, I'm not saying that's not real. What I am saying is there are other things that you need to worry about because of all the skill sets you need to live independently, if you don't have that one, it's indicative that you don't have
others. If you have the skill sets to live independently, you have the skill sets to microwave.
To feed yourself. Yeah. Right? I mean, that would be, to me, that'd be like maybe number one on the list of things you would need to be if you're able to live independently is to be able to feed yourself.
It's just really funny how silly the argument has gotten and how much it's escalated because it, like Andrew said, it's turned into like, well, maybe you shouldn't even be living on your own then. And people are like, you don't understand people with disabilities. And I'm going, guys,
and
is
how
it really
many
that
people,
serious?
This is an internet thing. You see it a lot on TikTok. You see it a lot on Twitter. You see it a lot on Instagram. It's an internet culture, Gen Z, some millennial thing to blame a little bit on my own generation.
Can I be honest with you? I just want to share a behind the scenes moment. So about 2 minutes ago, I was going to make a joke and say like, oh, I saw a movie once called Monkey Shines where a disabled guy had a monkey that did all of his cooking. And I'm like, you probably shouldn't make that joke. And then I just started thinking about the movie. And then I popped back in to what you guys were doing 2 minutes later. And I'm like, I can't believe they're still talking about this crap.
How did they not change the subject?
Yeah, I was like someone in my car listening to the Glover Show. And I'm just like, what are you still talking? Still talking about DoorDash?
Who's
I had
in
a moment
that
like
movie?
That too. I was like, well, a human right. Like, I could see a better argument for access to the internet being a human right more than
DoorDash.
DoorDash. Yeah, it's gotten a little silly.
134 DG asked Michael Kelly, hanging out with us for the hour. So, Daryl Whited was a drummer in the Dave Glover Band for probably 12 plus years. He works at Fred Pierce's drum studio. I went in today, bought some stuff, saw him for the first time since COVID. And it's a pretty small place in Overland, and it's just literally wall to wall, like a hoarder's basement of drums and cymbals, and it's just drum porn. And I could stay in there all day just looking at all the stuff and playing it and just testing out ride cymbals and stuff. What would be your version of that? Like, where would you go where you're just like, dude, I can do this all day? Mm-hmm. Comic book store, sports store, whatever.
Mine's so simple and boring. It's just a bookstore. I could
nothing
sit in a bookstore all day and just want to buy thousands of dollars worth of books.
Yeah,
that you would read or not read. I'm big on buying books I don't read.
That I would read, although I feel like I have less time to read now.
Yeah.
But no, definitely. I would sit there and read. Yeah.
I'd say a bookstore too, or maybe an art store. Just going through all the different art supplies, like, oof. But
like
that
Dick
is
Blick.
But that is so expensive so quickly.
It is.
Yeah.
I would be like a golf galaxy, like a place that has all the different kind of, that you could hit balls and you could putt, and the next thing you know, it'd be 3 hours later, and I would still be looking at the same putter.
I think it'd probably, I mean, not counting something like a you know, Dave and Buster's where you can just, because that's not the same. You're not browsing. You're actually playing games. Probably like the Baseball Hall of Fame, that kind of a thing. I mean, I've done the Cardinals Hall of Fame, and I was in there way too long. It's just cool. I like that stuff.
Have you been to the Baseball Hall of Fame?
No, I have not been to Cooperstown.
Right. Unpopular opinion.
Let's go.
Unpopular opinion.
Yeah.
It's not good.
Well, it would be for me because I'm a nerd.
Yeah, but I mean, it looks like a mausoleum. It's just a
boring.
It's an old building.
Yeah, they need to soup it up. Like,
and it's got plaques of people, like dead people are buried there. It didn't do it for me.
Yeah, I think, obviously that's what I'd be there for, is to see all like the old bats and the uniforms and all that nonsense.
Andrew, I'm guessing a magic card store.
You know what? Actually, probably, yeah. There's a couple of stores in town. You know, a lot of times they will have almost like library rooms that are just filled with shelves of boxes that you can kind of go through. A lot of like old bulk and stuff like that. And I mean, you can lose hours just looking for a specific thing or just kind of like going through and seeing what looks
interesting
to you.
Tell me, man, nerds keep the economy going.
Yeah, well, we're all nerds about something.
Yeah, for sure. We're having fun yesterday with Donald Trump winning not only the senior... cup at his club, but the Open. And you know who Rick Riley is?
Oh yeah, the golf writer. Yeah.
I've never heard of him.
Yeah,
he wrote an entire book about how Trump cheats at golf
before he became president.
Before he became president.
This is long before MAGA was a thing. Yeah.
Crazy man.
That's funny.
And he pointed out. He said Trump. He's like, look, here's all you need to know. As if I thought he really did win. That he's never won anything at a club he didn't own. And he's never lost anything at a club he owns.
Yeah.
Right.
And he said that if he actually played, even in a senior tournament anywhere else, he wouldn't be in the top 50%.
Oh.
And here's my point, though.
Watch him swing. You can tell.
I played golf with guys who cheated. You know, and it kind of reveals.
Did they use the foot putter?
Who they are.
Yeah. A lot of foot putting, a lot of finding the ball all of a sudden.
Look at it, I found it. Just dropped it out of my pocket.
There was a foot
and
putter.
Look, I guess I'm not above that, except that I'm so bad. I can't cheat enough.
Yeah.
Right?
That's me.
It's just not possible.
There's
so
no
I might
point.
As well play it straight.
Like, right.
Just
right.
be the comic relief.
Like, nope, I'm going to go into the middle of the jungle to hit that ball because I don't have any more if I lose this one.
Right. Then you just throw it as hard as you can. Yeah. Like, hey, I got all that one. But yeah, I thought that was really pretty kind of interesting. Hey, Amy, I've seen you since the whole Donald Trump has endorsed a Bible.
Oh, gosh.
And it's a $10 Bible. Oh. You can see it on Amazon, the exact Bible. And
I thought it was a $60 Bible.
No,
it
is now.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm sorry. His is
it's endorsed by Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Your thoughts?
Just like Jesus would have wanted, honestly. that was the Bible Jesus read. And
that was the 11th commandment, right?
We love
put thy name on my Bible.
Yeah, I like that he endorsed it. I've watched recently that clip where he was asked about his faith and reading the Bible, and he's like, I read all of it. And they're like, well, do you have a favorite verse? There's just so many verses, I couldn't pick a favorite. He's like, what about Old Testament or New Testament? I like both of the Testaments.
He's definitely the kid that did not study for the pop quiz.
It's unbelievable. It's just so grifty, grifty, gross, and from a Saturday Night Live point of view, it's so stupid. Like I said, yes, you know, Jesus is you know, two thumbs up that he's got the Trump-endorsed Bible. From an actual point of view, that it's very depressing because something I've talked about at length is Trump's inexplicable and abhorrent stranglehold on a lot of evangelical voters. It makes no sense to me, so much so that while you have your talks about living in a simulation, and I'm like, no, we don't live in a simulation. If something were to tell me that we were, it would be Trump's stranglehold on the evangelical church. I'm like, this makes no sense. This was a bug. This was the aliens putting something together, and they didn't get what Christians were, and they don't get what Trump is, and they put them together by mistake.
Yeah.
So what is it, though? Because it's so transparent. I mean, anybody who's watched Donald Trump can tell that's nonsense, all of that. But the people who truly do practice the faith and believe it are all in on it.
I
and
can
buy
tell
it.
You, a friend of mine who claims to be evangelical, you know, like Amy always says, like, I don't care what you tell me. Tell me you're Christian. Tell me you're evangelical. Tell me you're devout. I don't care. Doesn't mean anything to me.
Yeah.
Because anyone can say anything. And so my friend, who is kind of that guy, was talking to me about this. And he said, here's the deal. He said, Donald Trump fights for the things I believe in, whether he believes in them or not. And I would rather have, I'm paraphrasing, I'd rather have a very flawed, compromised warrior than a puny true believer.
Yeah.
And at least that made some logical sense to me. Now he's admitting it's hypocritical, but he's saying that, you know, someone like Mitt Romney, who he believes it truly is devout, but he's a wimp. That give me the guy who's compromised and maybe not even a very good person, but he's going to fight for what I want and what I believe. And that's how he justifies it.
But he doesn't. I mean, Trump doesn't hold the same principles. He's not a conservative. He's not a Christian. He's not a Republican. You think he's fighting for you because right now it benefits him to pretend like he cares about you because he knows that he can play you and can exploit your fears and that he's someone in power with a very, very big platform who can say, hey, I know that the looming heights of culture, like the academics and Hollywood and music and legacy media, that they all lean left. And he saw there's a hole that I can sell something, and I'm going to sell this made up con man character to exploit the very real fears and maybe the very real unheard voices of some people who have more traditional beliefs and feel like the world is moving on too fast without them. And he's exploiting them and he's playing them. And I'm telling you, as soon as he doesn't need you anymore, he will step on you and mock you and disdain you like he stepped on and mocked and disdained everyone else that he's been done with because they no longer serve his purpose. He's a con man.
Well, he's got tennis shoes for sale too, though.
Jeez. Yeah, from gold. From gold sneakers to the Bible.
Yeah, I mean,
trading cards with laser beam eyes. Yeah,
I mean, he couldn't be any more. Yes, he couldn't be any more transparent. Like Jesus is like, follow me, and also buy these new high top shoes.
Now he's being traded on NASDAQ. Like literally, his stock went up again today.
Social,
but at least that's not blasphemous.
True.
Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're devout, you know, that would be blasphemy to put your name on a Bible, wouldn't it?
Well, I have it in my pocket here. The Amy Mark Scored Bible.
How much does that one run in me, Amy?
We love the Bible.
Can I get a discount?
I love all the verses. That's why they're all in there.
Amy and I keep things in check because I'm an agnostic. I'm not convinced. If someone said, hey, Dave, I want you to sign my Bible. Not in a million years.
No, not at all.
Not even close.
Nope.
Yes, that's so true.
Nope. Right?
That is so true.
I mean, I'm more devout than he is, and I'm a non-believer. I'm like, I'm not tempting that guy.
To Peter, keep on rocking the good word.
Your name's Larry? Larry, let me just
sign Dave. Now, I don't want to see this on
Book's
eBay.
Book's going to do you a lot of good. Check out both Testaments, Glover.
Check out both Testaments. They're both pretty good.
I like Andrew's, and I don't want to see this on eBay.
.148 DGS coming up at the top of the hour. My buddy Rich Gould is going to be here. He has a new book out, and thank God it's a kid's book. I thought it was an autobiography. These guys saw it happen. I just learned that. Rich contacted me. He's like, hey, dude, I wrote a book. It's called There's a Snake Down There. I'm like, you're gutsy. And, and it's a kid's book. I'm like, oh, holy hell. That's a relief.
Hoo-wee.
So not to be classist, but this morning I've seen a few of them now. Hamburger Helper. I don't know if you've seen these new ads.
Oh.
Now, look, I've eaten more Hamburger Helper than probably anything else in my life, you know, growing up as I did where I did. And I love it, especially the stroganoff. But these new ads, it's like these rich people. And the whole thing's like executive mom doesn't have time to make dinner for the kids because Johnny's in ice hockey and Marla's in advanced gymnastics. Like, oh, and then that little glove who just bugged me.
Let me help you guys.
Yeah, he comes out, and then she's like, I got dinner. I'm like, yeah, because that's the way Hamburger Helper works.
Right.
You know, it's like, oh, I think I left it in my Land Rover. Let me go check.
The stroganoff is the best.
Oh, it's fantastic.
So good.
I can't help but think of the scene from Vacation. Don't know why they call this Hamburger Helper. Seems to do just fine by itself.
Man,
real
I had
tomato ketchup, Eddie.
I had a real like someone walking across your grave moment. I was watching. I remember as a kid, my brother is 11 years older than me, and he ended up volunteering for the Army coming out of high school in 1971. And my understanding was if you volunteered, you got a better assignment. He didn't go to Vietnam. He went to Germany. But I remember watching the lottery on television. I was, you know, 4 or 5 years old, and just my mom and dad, my brother, just being all nervous and stuff. And on TikTok, they showed it again.
Oh.
And so what it was they had all the birthdays, and it went from 1 to, you know, 365. And the closer to 1 you were, the more apt you were to go to Vietnam. And I think it went through like 191. If you're between 1 and 191, you're going. Now, of course, if I had really been born 14 years earlier, I might not have been born on my birthday. But I'm like, oh, I'm going to watch and see where September 6 pops up. It was number 6. So had that been me, it would have been like, I would have been one of the first people there.
Wow.
And it just, it really had an effect on me because it was the actual footage of the actual lottery.
So, was it like on the news?
Yeah,
like
no, they broke in.
On television?
They broke in. They're like, special report. We have the lottery. Oh. And they were showing it. And then they were like, February 12th, number 4. November 2nd, number 5. They're like, September 6th. Number 6, I'm just like, holy God. Someone with my birthday back then was just like, I'm screwed.
Yep.
Nuts.
Wow. My dad did the enlist thing so you could have a little more say over where you're put. Yeah. He got sent to Thailand as opposed to Vietnam, which was not combat.
I know that my dad's was late, and he said once it came up, they knew that blah, blah, blah. I had no idea it was like something they put on national television.
Yeah. Because I have a very specific memory of watching and wondering why everyone was so nervous.
It's crazy.
Wow.
What do you think if that happened again today?
Oh, wouldn't. They wouldn't.
Mutiny.
People just wouldn't do it?
Well, I've seen, I'm not 100% on this, but I have seen some people that are in the military saying it would be basically pointless. Because if we get to that point, we're done. Because where we are with technology and...
If we needed millions of men...
If we're drafting people, if we're at that point, we're in big trouble.
Yeah. Mm. Huh? I buy that.
Because you're not trained up. Like, it's not like... And it's not like it was in Vietnam or World War II. Like, here we go. Train up on your rifle. Here you go. I mean, like, war's different now.
Mm-hmm. Do you think we'd be involved in as much if we did have it, or if everybody was required to go to service for a year?
Yeah.
I don't think there's any question at this point.
I don't think we would be as intrusive in everybody else's stuff as we are.
I think you're right. I do.
Because right now, we it's essentially poor people who are going to, I mean, you know what I mean? It's people who can't figure their way out of it. Mm. And it's not right. Unfortunately.
Help me out with something, Mike. This morning, Joe Biden was saying that the federal government's going to pay to replace the bridge in Baltimore.
Right.
And my anger flared a little because I felt like, well, it's not your money. Like, I get it. You're trying to be the hero and, hey, don't you worry about it. We're going to pay for all of it. But you're not paying for jack crap. We're paying for it.
Right.
But then I thought, okay, don't get too upset. Maybe we pay for all the bridges. I don't know, but.
No, well, we pay for when we have tornadoes and hurricanes, et cetera. You know, they declare states of emergency.
Yeah.
Those all have legal specifics behind them, which allow there to be money to be spent on it. I would imagine there's a national security interest in having this particular bridge operate.
It's a major highway, right?
Yeah.
Like an interstate.
And
it's blocking the biggest port on the East Coast. So, yeah. But, I mean, that's what these guys do. They take credit for spending our money.
Jesus, you guys.
Maybe they should go after it, though, from ended up being behind the problems that led to this.
I think maybe even if they do. Because I actually didn't, of all things, I didn't have a problem with it because, like you said, it's a major port. So it's economic interest. It's a disaster. And it's like, we have to fix it first. And then as long as they go after someone and say, okay, you can pay us back, but you can't wait.
Right.
You can't
wait to fix it now.
Yeah.
But couldn't it have just been an accident? That's what it looked like to me with the
people
power
get sued
going
for accidents all the time.
Yeah. I guess.
And make the shipping company's insurance pay for it.
Right.
Have you guys heard what the divers are going through?
Mm.
So it's between 40 and 60 feet deep. Visibility, the average visibility is 6 inches. So they're just feeling their way.
6 inches.
And I hadn't thought about this, but the bridge is under there.
Yeah.
And so they're literally feeling hand over hand around all of this super sharp, jagged metal.
Right.
Feeling for people and cars and things like that. And it's 44 degrees, the water temperature. It's just nuts. Nuts. The people who do that, like, that's way too claustrophobic for me. It's way too many things for me.
Yeah.
But the people who do that, God love them.
Yeah, no doubt.
I didn't think about that. The visibility. It makes sense,
no
but
visibility.
I didn't think through.
And you're going through this labyrinth.
And are the missing people, they've decided now, the folks who were actually filling potholes, there was nobody in cars left. Yes. It was
That's
just
what they're
the
saying.
Workers.
Yeah. There were eight workers. Two of them miraculously survived because it was 180 feet up. So you had to survive a 180-foot fall, and then you had to survive the water.
Be able to swim.
And I saw a Navy SEAL talking about it that you're unconscious within 60 minutes and you're dead within 2 hours if you're just there in the water.
Yeah.
Just unbelievable.